my friends, to the show that never ends. This is Wayback Playback episode number 308, as this week we bring you the second hour of WWF SummerSlam 1988. Hello, you people. I am Pat McNeil. Normally, I am joined by the other half of the podcasting tag team champions of time and space, Jim Valley. However, Jim is still under the weather, and we really hope to have him back next week. Covering for him this week is our good friend announcer for PWX and a couple other fine wrestling promotions, Mr. Brett Wolverton. Brett, are you ready to hop into the Wayback Machine and return to the summer of 1988 when Oral Hershiser ruled the diamond and love was like a wishing well to kiss and tell?
I am looking forward to being 7 years old all over again.
Well, that must be nice. Anything to get out of 2020 here for a couple minutes? All right. Yeah. Brett, I normally it's the part where I'd tell Brett to fill everybody in on what he's doing in the wrestling business, but he's probably doing what many of us are doing, which is not going to wrestling shows.
A whole lot of not much right now.
Yeah. I'm sorry. I'm really hoping that things get back to normal eventually. I don't know that it'll happen in the next couple of weeks, but it'll be nice to have some wrestling shows again.
I'm looking forward to getting to the ring, and my biggest fear, honestly, is that I'm not going to be able to fit into my suit anymore.
Well, that's
it's been hanging on the closet, and all I've been doing is eating at home. So,
yep, there's been a lot of that going around, and a lot of that going around for our audience too. Meanwhile, some other business. Our patron continues to do well. We're at patreon.com/waybackplayback, and we are trying to make sure that we get all the shows that were that we made from before we from back when we were behind the paywall out in a format that our listeners can enjoy. So if you go to patreon.com/waybackplayback for as little as $4.50 a month, you can get the ad-free versions of our weekly shows early, and you can get our shows from the past. Right now, the last one to go up was Jim and I doing Wrestle War 1992, all 3 hours of it, a fine show with a great War Games. Those of you who miss the sound of Jim's voice, you might enjoy that, so go ahead and check that out. Meanwhile, the podcast rankings, Chartable has us as the 520th most listened to podcast in India. We are not the 520th most listened to podcast in America for some reason. And one of the top 300 leisure podcasts in the world. I don't know exactly what that means, but it sounds good. And we thank each and every one of you. We managed to chart this past week in the United States, Great Britain, Canada, you know, the usual suspects. But India is a nice nice jewel in the crown here, Brett.
Yeah, it's great to get that worldwide notoriety.
Yes, that's kind of notoriety. That's kind of what we have here. So we're going to go ahead and return to August 29, 1988, we'll do the part where we tell you what was going on in the world on that date. All right, your New York Times bestsellers. On the fiction side, we have Cardinal of the Kremlin by Tom Clancy, and the nonfiction side, A Brief History of Time by Stephen Hawking. So, yeah, not a lot in common in those books, really.
No, nothing at all.
Nope. The number one Billboard song, August 1988, Monkey by George Michael. Why can't you do it? Why can't you set your monkey free? You know, that's that one. Still not ringing a bell, huh?
Not that one. Just I don't know why I don't recognize that. I really have to look that up.
It's on YouTube. Well, at some point we'll explain. We might as well fill everybody in. Jim couldn't do the show. He's still sick. Bob Keller, a mutual friend of all of us, he was going to do the show, but he had an incident happen. Brett, would you like to elaborate on the incident that kept Bob from hosting the show this week?
Bob was in the process of filling out a missing persons form on one of his trailers that was taken. As many know, Bob rents out rings and stuff and cages and entrances and all that, and on Friday, one of his trailers disappeared. Hmm. So he's on the hunt for that. So if you see a trailer that looks like one of Bob Keller's, let him know.
Yes, please do. You know, is it how big is the trailer? Do we know?
I don't know the exact size of it, to be honest. I probably should have got that information.
Okay, well, Bob's Twitter is BobKeller14, BobKeller14, and if you spot Bob's trailer, please get on there immediately and let him know, and we'll track that down for him. And our worldwide audience will take care of it. Top
Might not
movie.
see it for all we know.
Well,
maybe one of our India listeners will be able to help us out.
So if The Thief is one of our listeners, I'm sure that would help. But right. The top movie in the country, August 29th, 1988, Nightmare on Elm Street 4, The Dream Master, starring Robert Englund and Lisa Wilcox, in its second week at number one. I know Robert Englund from his time on the sci-fi show V back in the 1980s. I sort of feel like in order to follow Nightmare on Elm Street 4, I would have had to see the first three of them, and I don't really watch horror movies, so.
I was never big on horror. I do remember seeing Freddy vs. Jason, and I think I was dragged to that one. It wasn't my first option.
No? Okay. I'm guessing Freddy and Jason did a Broadway?
In the end, somebody's got to... Gotta go the distance, but it always makes, you know, that one eye open, just like they did at the swamp match.
Yep. That's a good way to do it. That's a good parallel there.
All right. It must continue.
All right. The top news stories on that Monday night in 1988 at an air show in a U.S. Air Force Base in Ramstein, West Germany, three Italian planes collided. The accident, you know, the planes hit the ground, ended up killing 33 people. Not good, but that's what's going on.
That will lower attendance the following year.
Yes. College football. That weekend, the college football season kicking off, it was number 2 ranked Nebraska taking on number 10 ranked Texas A&M at the Kickoff Classic in the Meadowlands. It was Nebraska with three field goals from Greg Barrios and quarterback Steve Taylor setting the Nebraska record for most career rushing yards by a quarterback. Nebraska wins 23-14. The Texas A&M quarterback, of course, the legendary Bucky Richardson. People who are in my fantasy football team will remember who Bucky Richardson, my fantasy football league, will remember who Bucky Richardson was, but many of you won't. So we just like saying Bucky Richardson.
Yeah, it's a fun name to say. Yeah. Bucky is a fun name to say.
And Monday Night Baseball that night, the Oakland Athletics beat the Boston Red Sox 3-1 in Oakland. Mark McGwire hit a two-run homer off of Mike Boddicker in the sixth. That was the distance maker. All right. We'd like to thank those of you who subscribe to our Patreon over at patreon.com/waybackplayback. If you go to patreon.com/waybackplayback, you can see our previous shows, including our archives, which feature a lot of the first 3 years of the show when we were behind the paywall. You cannot download these anywhere else. Well, that's not true, but I'll keep going anyway. This is great, kid. Okay, so Ken, you have been on the Wayback Playback Patreon. What do you like about it so far?
I think I just like the convenience most of all. Mm-hmm. It's just the ability to give back to a podcast that I feel deserves your support and deserves your patronage. I mean, and the site makes it extremely easy. Even a very non-savvy tech person such as myself was able to handle it.
Okay, that's good. For as little as $4.50, you can be a patron of Wayback Playback and enjoy getting our episodes in advance, hopefully by a couple of days, or at least by one day. Get our episodes in advance and get them ad-free. Not that Ken's ads aren't delightful, but some of you might be interested in saving a few minutes here and there. And get all the back issues, and we have bonus stuff, including bonus matches, including shows that Jim and I have done in the past elsewhere. It's patreon.com/waybackplayback. Check it out.
Absolutely.
We're back here. It's 48 minutes and 30 seconds, and we're getting ready for the middle hour of SummerSlam. 48 minutes and 30 seconds in, I have the WWF Live SummerSlam 88 graphic at Madison Square Garden. Is that about...
That's a very bright Madison Square Garden, too. I'm not used to seeing this lit up like this.
Well, it's pay-per-view, so I guess that's the explanation. And we're all going to hit play together in 3, 2, 1. Okay, here we are. Yay, Gorilla's here. Superstar Billy Graham is here. And the Bolsheviks are here. Right. And the very stylishly attired Slick the Doctor style is there.
Yes, and Ernie is nicknamed tonight, too. I mean, even down to the shoes matching the Bolsheviks.
Well, you know, that's that's your guy. Those are your guys. Your meal tickets at the moment, so why not? Very nice. Yes, if you missed it, Freddie Blassie was the manager of Nikolai and the Iron Sheik, sold the contracts to Slick, and Slick hung on to Nikolai and added Boris, and they're all set to go. Yep. Oh, it's time for the singing of the Soviet national anthem.
Hopefully by Nikolai and not Boris. Boris was always shaky with the anthem.
Not a good vocalist, no. But Nikolai just put his heart into it.
So many people disrespected him by staying seated and not removing their hats.
Well, Slick is holding his hat. Good job, Slick.
He looked like he was holding his breath, too.
Yeah, I did.
He looked nervous.
And here they come.
That was one thing I always liked about Madison Square Garden shows was that hallway shot. Watching him walk the entranceway.
There come the powers. There's the Warlord, the Barbarian, and the Baron. Yes, nothing more intimidating than a guy in sunglasses, a hood, a face paint, and a tracksuit.
Yes. Just has me all sorts of nervous.
Yeah, that's Baron von Raschke. But he's the Baron. And for whatever reason, this pairing didn't last long. I think a couple of months, really, of the Baron, and he was gone.
He did not last a Survivor Series. I remember that.
Yeah, not sure why, but then again, not sure why they brought him in. They probably felt they needed a manager for them because Demolition had a manager. Other than that, no idea. But I guess the powers of pain. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I don't think Warlord or Barbarian were ever big talkers, so you kind of needed somebody that could do that for them.
Well, that's true. But I mean, the idea is they're these are going to be their version of the Road Warriors, just like Demolition was their version of the Road Warriors, and Demolition. I mean, two veteran guys who were talented enough that. They sort of developed their own style and their own following. The Powers of Pain, Barbarian's always been a solid wrestler. The Warlord, he was very big.
He was solid. That was it.
Yeah.
He was at WrestleCade in Winston-Salem last November, and he's still just as big as he was 30 years ago.
Oh, yeah. Large individual. Oh, there we go. The stare down again. All right. Yeah, and this is the big pay-per-view moment for the Powers of Pain. They're getting their match against a ranked team in the Bolsheviks. But normally you'd think this would be just a squash and. This is, I don't know what this is, but it's not a squash so far.
No. It's been, can't really call it competitive, but it's been longer than you would think it would be.
I'm going to go with messy right now. All right.
That's fair.
And here we go. Oh, yeah, I wouldn't want the Warlord doing that to me, but. Oh, Warlord. So he's got.
Nikolai's been pretty quick to break up those counts.
I mean, yeah, good facial expression there, but Oh. Well, it's a good thing he's strong.
Yeah.
Hey, you know, and Nikolai, I mean, Boris and Nikolai, they're not small men. All right. Oh, yes, Slick with the distraction, and here comes Nikolai. And, you know, I mean, I
yeah, a lot of growling now.
Right. Yeah, I mean, you know.
Glad it's very animated.
I miss Nikolai, one of my favorites from my indie wrestling days.
Nikolai was one of the first guys I ever met from pro wrestling.
Yeah. You know, started working as a baby face, started singing God Bless America. And he always used to do that, and the new female managers always got introduced to his trick with the Nerf balls.
I may have to talk to you after the show about that one.
Oh,
I've heard that story.
You haven't heard that story?
I don't believe I have.
Okay, well, this is a PG show, but we'll try it. All right, so Nikolai, you know, it's kind of like a magic trick. So Nikolai will demonstrate he's got these three little Nerf balls, and he moves them, you know, back and forth in his hands, and you know, I think he gets it down to two, and then he puts one in each hand, and he tells the girl or whoever the female backstage is who he hasn't met yet, all right, pick a hand, yeah. And the girl picks a hand and goes, if you pick correctly, you will see what you desire most. And anyway, he passes the balls back and forth in the hands, and he opens it up, and it is a Nerf male genitalia. You haven't heard this story, because I swear to God, I saw him do it at least three times backstage.
It is weird, as I've seen him do magic tricks, but it was for fans, so I'm sure he wasn't going to do that one.
No, I don't think he did that for the kids, no. Oh, there we go. The face-off, the Slick and the Baron.
The manager's earning their pay for the night.
That's right. Yeah. Oh, yes. Now, we were discussing this earlier. Is he wearing sunglasses, the Baron?
I just noticed they got a close-up of his eyes, and it's black makeup around his eyes. Oh, he isn't wearing sunglasses.
So he's not wearing, it's like the raccoon makeup. Yeah.
Right.
Okay.
It's kind of Ultimate Warrior style, but not quite.
So you bring in Baron Von Raschke, you call him the Baron, but you don't actually let people see that it's Baron Von Raschke or see his face or his eyes or, yeah, I don't get it. Well, there we go.
The Bolsheviks got it.
All right. I mean, you got these. Yeah. I mean, they're powerful. They're over to a certain degree. I don't know, but they did the switch and they made the powers of pain the heels and the demolition the baby faces. Oh. Wow. Yeah, I mean, yeah. Barbarian is incredibly strong, and Nikolai, who just went up for that, like he was nothing. These guys. All right, there you go, Nick. Hey.
I'm just gonna stay out here for the rest of this one. I think.
It's like I'm not sticking around for the finish. Oh, the double shoulder block. Here we go. Okay.
And look at everybody get up to their feet already.
The power slam and the diving headbutt. Yep. I mean, it's not the Doomsday device, but it's not bad.
No, not at all. Yeah. And the crowd got into it.
Crowd's very excited. These kids have a future in this business.
A long future through the Barbarian. He's still around.
Oh, All right. The Warlord's blown up, obviously, but that's, you know. Yeah. Okay. Big win. Yes, and Gorilla's excited about the eventual match showdown between these guys and Demolition. All right. Oh, yep. Mm-hmm. Wow. Yeah, probably could have moved him closer. Yeah. So Barbarian didn't have to dive as far, but it worked.
He still managed to make it look connecting.
Yep. Oh. Quite impressive here. And yep, there's your 20,000 in attendance at the Garden.
Somebody carrying a big banner there in the back, all right. The upper bowl.
What have we got? That's it. Well, we missed something. I don't know. Oh, here we go. Oh, yeah. Oh, this is where they must have done a cut here so they could get the Brother Love mat in the ring, or the rug. Oh, there's a big sign, yeah.
Well, the red carpet.
Now, Bruce Pritchard tells the story that this, you know, the original plan for the first SummerSlam is they wanted, you know, Vince wanted to steal the four horsemen. All four of the horsemen. Bring them in. That wasn't going to happen. They ended up getting Arn Anderson and Tully Blanchard and J.J. Dillon, but I don't think any of them were in yet. In fact, I know they weren't in yet, so...
It would be close, though, because Arn and Tully were there for Survivor Series, so it had to be between times here.
Yeah, I think it was, I want to say it was September when they left. And you know, Barry Windham would come in maybe 6-8 months later after he wrapped up in, yeah. But they did not get all four of them at the same time. And there he is, Bruce Pritchard. And he looks very young and thin.
Yeah.
And very red.
Yes, most sunburned at that point. Right.
Oh, Brother Love is here. Then there's, and as we discussed last week, then there's the rumor that was going around that they're bringing in Jessica Hahn for, you know, of sex scandal fame.
Because when I think 1988 WWF, that's what I think. Let's go for the sex scandals.
All right. No. Now, I remember Jessica Hahn getting on Married with Children, but I don't remember any other big, any other big moments for her after this.
Appearances after that?
No. Okay. The guest is somebody who needs to learn a lesson of love. Oh, boy. Yeah, and so it's somebody Brother Love doesn't like, which means it's a fan favorite. Right. Okay, so who's it going to be? Hacksaw Jim Duggan. Got fired after, you know, being caught smoking weed with the Iron Sheik, I believe.
He not supposed to be positive on that test.
Right. And but he came back. The Sheik came back at one and was pretty much out of there almost right away after that.
Right.
Yeah. Hacksaw's got his own T-shirt. Wrestling T-shirts in this era, not the best.
I love how Brother Love is holding the microphone like he really doesn't want to be out there.
Yeah.
He's like, do I have to hold this microphone for this guy?
Mm-hmm. Yep. Brother Love.
I think I've done one or two interviews at shows where I've kind of felt the same way, but have to hold it in.
You try not to show it, yes.
Right.
Yes, Jim Duggan has no love in his heart. But you know who does have love in his heart? It's our sponsor, Ken of Ken and Tex Pet Care of Bangor, Maine. The finest dog walking and pet care service in the Bangor, Maine area. Go to kenandtech.com, KENANDTEK.com for a list of rates and services, and check out Ken and the pictures of his various the animals that he has and the animals he takes care of over at Ken and Tech, KenAndTek on Facebook and Instagram. And Ken, you're licensed, bonded, trained in pet CPR, certified in a few different dog care areas, and is there to help. He's picking up business again as Maine gets back to normal. So be sure to check out Ken and Tech's Pet Care. And no,
didn't miss anything. Brother Love's still going.
Right. You didn't miss anything. If you've seen Brother Love, I mean, you pretty much figured out what this entire bit was going to be. Yes. Hacksaw Jim Duggan has a weapon. Oh, well.
Well, good news, Brother Love knows his lumber.
That's right. So we'd never figured out exactly what the point was of bringing Jim Duggan out here.
I think it was somebody that didn't have a match on the show, and they made it work, I guess.
Yep. The WWF is not Sunday school. No. Okay. Well, this is not going to end well.
No. Especially when you poke the t-shirt version of Jim Duggan in the eye.
Mm. Right. He has a 2x4. Okay. Yep. He's not gonna dirty his hands on Brother Love. He is going to let's see. He's going to do something mean to Brother Love's rectum.
I was just going to say, he said, with the sun not shining, I think in 2020 there might be more places now.
I don't know, but yeah. I'm going to assume you're right. He is a man of love. He's got the 5 count.
He would get him with glasses.
Yep. Well, this is not going well. Yeah. There you go. Outstanding. All right.
You see, in 2020, we'd put a segment like this at the beginning of the show to really, you know, cool you off.
Oh, yeah. But now it's just, yeah. Yeah. All right. Yay for Hacksaw Jim Duggan. And that's that. Yay. Okay. On that note, we have another match. And thank goodness we do.
And look how quickly they got that carpeting out of the ring.
They're the professionals. Of course, they're kind of stuck. Haven't figured out what they're doing next. Oh, here we go. I know that song. Brett, that's the Honky Tonk Man song.
That sure sounds like Honky Tonk Man to me.
Yay. There's the Colonel.
Yeah, Pat, I just realized Honky Tonk Man was on the first show I ever worked on.
Yep.
And he was in a 6-man tag teaming with two local DJs against two local DJs and Hacksaw Jim Duggan.
Ho!
So this last 5 minutes all comes back full circle for me.
Yes, I had the honor of managing the Honky Tonk Man on a couple shows. First night he put over Bob Keller, which, you know, that was nice.
All you got to do is ask Bob Keller about that one. He'll tell you all about it.
Yeah, that's right. I forgot. Yeah,
I didn't know you were in the opposite corner for that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
He left that part out.
Oh, he did? Well, geez. Must have slipped his mind.
Right.
Then the next day was Father's Day, and it was Honky Tonk Man against Shane Shadows. And I was managing Shane Shadows, and it was not a very big crowd for Father's Day, but they were there to see the Honky Tonk Man. And we spent about 8 minutes trying to turn the crowd against Honky, and it just wasn't working. Yeah. Oh, well.
Now we get to find out who the opponent is.
I wonder who that opponent... Yeah, see, Mean Gene knew who the opponent was, but Honky didn't want to hear it. And apparently Mean Gene was the only guy who knew who the opponent was. Because, Howard Finkel doesn't know, and Gorilla doesn't know, and Billy Graham doesn't know. I think everybody knows now, because...
Let's say 15,000 in the garden recognize the music.
Yes, here he comes. The Ultimate Warrior. Ring that bell. There we go. We're underway. Oh, my goodness. One body slam. One shoulder block. Oh, nice. There, nice job selling that.
Hebner is running all over trying not to get hit.
Oh, that. I guess that was supposed to be a clothesline, and Honky moves himself into position. And we're done. Yay. We have a new Intercontinental Champion. And this is when Warrior's gimmick was a little more Bruiser Brody and a little less, crazy guy.
Yep. Man, do I miss seeing crowds explode like that.
Oh, yeah. I miss seeing crowds.
Yeah, there's that, too. Yeah. It makes a world of difference when you're watching this.
Yeah. And they're trying, but, it's not quite the same thing. Okay. Ultimate Warrior not sticking around to pose in the ring. He's out of here. Let's watch that entire match again.
let's watch him punch Honky in the face with a clothesline.
Yeah. Okay, Honky manages to turn so that... Yay! And there's your new champion. Oh,
and I really don't think Honky Tonk Man was ever the same after that.
No, he wasn't.
It was kind of the beginning of the end.
The record-breaking run of the Honky Tonk Man comes to an end. Yeah. They're just going nuts here in the garden. The crowd is going banana. And that's intermission. We're back from intermission, so we get to see that opening again. Because there's no way that we're going to pay for that opening and not use it and not use it more than once. Really.
Yeah, we put a lot of time and effort into that.
All right, Mega Powers and Mega Bucks. Yay! Okay, and just a mere five matches to go. We've already had five matches. Oh, and there's Bobby Heenan. Yes. Bobby Heenan will be reporting on what's happening in the locker room. We still have the...
And Billy Graham's shirt is distracting.
Billy Graham's... Yeah, I my opinion is still going to be that that's supposed to be Jesus on the shirt. I mean...
I can see it, but it also reminds me of Jesse Ventura.
Well, okay, but why would he have Jesse Ventura on a shirt?
That's a good point.
Yep. Oh, Heenan's great. Yeah. his sources say that the Mega Powers are hiding in their locker room. Okay. Yes, Gorilla does not want there to be any lies on this broadcast. So Heenan's going to stay up there for to announce this. And instead of playing Jesus Christ Superstar for Don Morocco, they're playing whatever the heck this knockoff is.
Stock Music 44.
Right. All right. Don Morocco, protege of Superstar Billy Graham, at least at this point.
I think he's pointing up to him up in the rafters.
That's going to be my guess.
That sure looks like what he was signaling to.
Yeah, but he's not just Don Morocco. He's The Rock, Don Morocco. And there he is. Dino Bravo.
Bobby just asked Billy Graham if it bothered him to hear that music playing, and I thought, no, because it's not the music we're hearing.
That's right.
Doesn't bother him at all.
Yep. Okay. Oh, thank you, Frenchie. Yes. Frenchie Martin should go back to France or wherever it is he came from.
Because you would expect somebody named Frenchie Martin to be from, you know, Venice, Italy.
Currently residing in Munich, Germany. Frenchie Martin.
That's his winter residence.
Right. Okay, both these guys, both these guys, and, you know, neither of these guys have the guts that they would have at other points in their career.
I'm still in pretty good shape.
Yeah, they both are. I mean, Dino would lower his center of gravity over the next couple of years, but he looks good here.
Very much so.
Okay. They're still arguing in the booth. Yep. And the loud argument in the booth is probably to distract from what's happening in the ring.
The lack of anything else going on in the ring.
Yep. All right. Hey. Oh, wow. And out he goes.
He's going to go out and rethink his strategy. Mm-hmm. You know, if I were in Frenchie Martin's shoes, I would be using the sign to fan him, cool him off.
Yeah, that would make sense. Okay, so... Yeah, but we're going to get a pretty basic story here.
I'm pretty sure there's a guy at ringside. He's looking at the program right now. He's clocked out.
Right.
Yeah, he's going, well, let's see. What matches do we have left?
Mm-hmm. Well, I can tell you what we have coming up. Our main event for this hour is going to be Demolition defending the tag titles against the Hart Foundation, which we're all very excited about.
A main event on any podcast in the world.
That's right. Especially on this one.
Right.
Oh, what? Wow. That's an impressive flying armbar there by Don Morocco. Okay.
I think Frenchie was holding that sign up to see how good Morocco's eyes were.
Yep.
If you can read the last line, you don't need glasses.
Well, I would hope not. All right. Yep. All not. This is a big U.S. versus Canada battle, which is why you got the crowd chanting USA.
And poor Frenchie being the lone, you know, dissenter, because obviously Bravo's got a match going on.
Yep. Oh. Oh, and a inverted atomic drop. Another one of those wrestling moves you don't see anymore.
Exactly. And you know, here in 2020, there's an entire Twitter account dedicated to Rick Rude selling an atomic drop.
Right.
It's the greatest thing in the world.
Boom. Is it better than the Steve Mongo McMichael Twitter account?
Oh, it's a close. It's close. Okay. But I would have to give the edge to Mongo, yeah. Unfortunately.
Oh, there we go.
Now, I listened to last week's show, so I know Bill Barons is happy to see he hooked the leg on that.
Yes, Bill is thrilled. I'm sorry, is John Lovett sitting ringside, or did I miss that?
Hmm.
I mean, it could be.
Okay, I was going to say, it's possible.
And a cop that looks like Norm MacDonald with a fake mustache in the front row.
That's another lost thing. You don't see local police officers sitting in the crowd.
Actually, it's, it's either that
you usually get the people that work at the arena that look like they'd rather be anywhere else.
Can't wait to see Norm pick up his mic. Hello, real cops? Oh, no. Oh, no, the referee got in the way. And there it is, the side slam. And Dino Bravo's your winner. Oh, wow.
Billy Graham calling for a new referee when the match is over.
Well. Canada's strongest man, Dino Bravo. Well, I mean, they're going to call him that. He's got that feud with Iron Mike Sharp coming up, obviously. All right. Oh, Sean Mooney is standing by with Jesse Ventura. And we have quite the green screen going here.
Quite the green screen, and it almost sounds like Mooney is just reading off a cue card.
Right.
Seems very stiff in his delivery. He got a lot better as the years went on.
Yes, he did. Nobody, you know, I'm surprised nobody's told us this interview is a Coliseum video exclusive. Yes, he's being accused of accepting money from Ted DiBiase. Well, he did accept money.
The nerve.
Yeah. Okay. Oh, my goodness. Sean is mortally outraged. Outraged, I tell you. All right. Here we go. You know, a lot of guys don't get their entrance music on this pay-per-view.
Yeah, it's... Yeah, you know, everybody's hometown tonight is currently in the ring.
Yeah, no kidding.
I tried for the longest time when I was younger to grow a beard like the Anvils, and I could never get it to point like that.
Really?
I finally just gave up on it.
Yeah. Don't know what the secret is. Oh, there we are. That's that Mr. Fuji
Company
and Jimmy
by
Hart.
By New York Science.
yes, Jimmy Hart supposedly still has the managerial contract on the Hart Foundation, even though they've fired him. So he's going to be there. And it's 4-on-2. All right. Okay. And this is a big deal. This is the Hearts, you know, getting their opportunity to regain their titles. Hey, who doesn't like Axe and Smash?
Always a big fan of Demolition. And I realized I got the lucky hour on this show. I got both title matches.
That's right. Yep. Luck of the draw, but yeah, you'll be have to thank Bob Keller.
Yeah, because there's no heavyweight title match tonight, and nope. Sherry wasn't defending the women's title.
Not sure why, except they didn't really care that much about the women's title back then. It's time, and you can always tell how many children Bret Hart has at any given time by the number of hearts on his on the front of his tights. So one right now.
Yeah, we just have one at this point. You know, that works, I think, a lot better than with AJ putting it on his side.
Yeah.
Then if you have another one, you got to kind of you gotta pencil make it in, and it doesn't look the same.
I know. Yeah, but see, on the other hand, though, the WWE, they can't trademark your tattoos.
That's a good point.
Oops.
That poor Smash was just sitting there minding his own business.
I know, just totally unfair. Oh.
That's some of the Jimmy Hart advice, you know, yes. Sticking with him. Mm-hmm.
Back in the olden days when tag teams were actual tag teams.
They were able to do a full Survivor Series match that year with 10 tag teams.
I know. Yeah. Really not going to get that done today. Not that you'd want to, but...
I know I've heard him say in interviews that was such a pain in the rear end to try to shoot,
yep.
But just visually it looks so cool seeing all those bodies around the ring.
It did, yes. That's true. But they, I can understand why they got away from it. Oh, nice work there by Axe.
I know Jimmy Hart and Mr. Fuji were supposed to be talking strategy out there, but I always wonder what they're actually saying to one another. Like, man, did you see the guy in the third row, one eye in New York, the other in L.A.?
Yeah.
You know, just...
Oh, yeah. That's exactly what they're talking about.
It's because I know some of the stuff I've said in the ring waiting for somebody to come out, or
right.
Bob Keller and I are forever trying to get the other one to crack up.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, one of my favorite as a heel manager was, oh, my God, we killed Keller. We're bastards. Yeah. I swear this was funnier 20 years ago. Yes, I do. Yes. Or Gino's favorite, you know, it's a, yeah, I slept with Bob Keller's wife, but she came on to me, you know. The first wife, obviously. Yeah. Good times. Good times. All right.
That was when Bob told me his favorite song was I Gave Her the Ring, She Gave Me the Finger.
Mm. That's true.
And we just lost Jimmy Hart, and camera totally missed.
Yep. Night Art runs off Jimmy Hart. Of course, that
would never happen if Kevin was directing.
Yeah. Oh, they're working. Yep. Oh my God! Imagine that, using the ropes to work over the arm. It's crazy what these kids think of these days. Yeah. And there he is, the Star Child, Demolition Axe. Oh, sorry.
They still wear the face paint at conventions today. Not nearly as elaborate, though.
Well, yeah, no.
They don't have their pay-per-view makeup artists with them.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Oh. And Bret Hart taking the heat, which he's very good at. I mean, you know, you like seeing Bret Hart do well in a singles career, but, you know, losing the Hart Foundation as a tag team, that was not the best.
Yeah, it was one of their primary teams for, what, 6-7 years?
Right.
Shoulder breaker, one of my favorite moves that doesn't get used enough.
That's right. Okay.
Both versions, that and the reverse one.
I know. You can put together, yeah. I mean, this is being discussed on Twitter this weekend. Young wrestlers should go back and like spend a week watching nothing but matches that are 20 years old and older. Which, by the way, this show is perfect for. I'm just saying. Hey. All right. Oh yeah. Working the arm and he's grabbing Brett's arm pad, or his elbow pad, and oh, yeah, there we go.
Twerking onto the wrist of Bret Hart for some reason.
Right. I don't know what happened first. Wrestlers stopped telling this sort of story and doing psychology, or announcers stopped calling it. There we go.
They get so caught up in trying to relay the story that they want to get across that they forget to tell what's going on in front of them.
Well, I mean, they're, you know, at the WWE level, they're under orders to tell the story that they're trying to get across. And nobody, you know, talking about the match, well, I mean, why would you do that? There we go. Brett's down. They're working the arm.
It's just weird seeing Demolition go after the arm of Bret Hart because they never really did anything as a finish that targeted the arm.
No, no.
The only other thing I can think of is the fact that that's the arm that Bret uses for the clothesline.
Which we're going to see right now. Yes,
right there.
You can't tell that this is our second version of this, and we're trying to make sure this records properly this time. But yeah. Yeah, maybe we should do a rehearsal every week. I'll talk to Jim. Oh, there we go. And, oh, no. Oh. The referee missed it.
And now suddenly Axe has long hair, but the referee won't notice.
Right. Hey, what happened?
He's wearing black tights. It's the same guy.
Yeah, sure it is. Yeah, different hair, different face paint.
20-pound weight difference.
Right. Yep. Ouch. Ooh, there we go. And you get a body slam. And you get a body slam.
Gonna throw you every which way.
Right. Yeah, Smash. Ouch, Smash had a rough couple minutes there.
Yeah.
All right. Oh wait. Oh.
What amazed me with that, Pat, is as soon as Smash went out to the floor, the crowd got up to their feet almost like it was 2020 and they were expecting a dive.
Yeah, well, I don't know what they got one.
They got one, but I wouldn't have expected it in '88.
The only person more surprised than Smash was probably Jim Neidhart. Hey, I cleared the top rope. Yeah, baby. Oh.
That's what happens when you get hungry and forget your manners.
Mm-hmm. Hot tag. Well, tag anyway. All right. Ooh. Oh, no.
I always think it's cool when I see those shoulder tackles and the guy flies backwards after hitting.
Yep.
Gives that extra momentum, shows how hard they went into it.
Right. Oh, no. This is an art form. Well, what we have in 2020, it's a different art form.
Right.
Yeah, that cop might actually be Norm MacDonald with a fake mustache.
Going, do I look like Burt Reynolds?
Ah.
Funny guy.
It's a giant fake cat. It's a giant fake police hat. It's funny. Oh no, Jimmy Hart's megaphone. And yeah, they missed Jimmy Hart running in from backstage. I don't know how, but they missed it. They missed him. They missed Jimmy Hart coming and Jimmy Hart going.
Got Mr. Fuji going though.
All right. Well, you know they can't catch you with the evidence if you run away. And take it with
this
you.
This is true.
Aw. Right. Gorilla missed it.
That's so. All right, Brett. We'll get it next time.
That's right. Yep, any day now. Oh, here we go. Well, at least there was a camera on this. Ah!
Now, in that shot, Jimmy's making it totally obvious what he's doing.
Right. Boom. Now, I mean, but, you know, why couldn't have they thrown it back to Jimmy? I mean, that's... No. Well, let's hide right there.
He's looking like, oh, I think I broke it.
Yep. Nobody here but us 285-pound face-painted guys. All right. Hey. All right. We're almost done with this hour, but first let's check in on the Honky Tonk Man and the Bad Guy locker room. Aw. What happened? Leave me alone.
I want to be alone.
Yes, and the great answer, I said I'd face anybody, but not the Ultimate Warrior. Yeah. How dare they? Yep. All right. That's his belt. Okay. He's going to get it. All right.
2 years later, he still held it longer than anybody.
That's true. Okay. Woo. Oh, well. It's just chaos back here.
I love that they keep throwing stuff at Gene to throw him off.
Well, of course they do. All right, so that's where I have the stopping point for this week at 1 hour and 37 minutes even.
Stand back! There's a hurricane coming through!
For over 10 years, Shane Hurricane Helms has been a pioneer in the podcast game. And now, the Creative Control Network proudly brings to you the record-breaking, history-making, longest-reigning, most entertaining Cruiserweight champion of all time, Shane Hurricane Helms, and the Highway to Helms podcast. Available on iTunes, Stitcher, wherever your favorite podcast may be, you'll find me, Shane Hurricane Helms. And if you don't know, Google me. Biatch!
We would like to thank Gregoire Lourmet for the use of his track, Run Faster, Jump Higher. You can hear all of his work at Jamendo.com or on his website, musicepique.com, musicuee-epique.com. Wow, and the next three matches will wrap up on next week's episode. So we have time for a bonus match. Let's see where we're going here. All right. Say, Brett, are you ready to go hit up Primetime Wrestling?
All right, sounds good. Which prime time do we want to go?
I think we're going to go August 22nd of 88.
All right.
Which is the last one before SummerSlam. There obviously is no prime time during this episode because of the Westminster Dog Show. Because, yeah, there's a Monday night pay-per-view. Right, and there's no prime time because of the Dog Show, and that was a thing for the USA Network. All right, so we're going to go to that show. We're going to start at 0 minutes and 0 seconds. Is everybody with us?
I'm with us.
Okay, I know you are. So let's go ahead, and we're going to hit play together in 3, 2, 1. And here it is, the familiar Primetime Wrestling Open. Yep. Yay. Randy and Coco. Oh, everybody. Yep. 1988. It's Primetime Wrestling.
There were so many good characters at this time. That's why I love 88, 89. Just for characters alone.
Mm-hmm. And they could just, yeah, they could pile through, you know, plow through about 20 of them in this intro. Hey, there's Gorilla and there's the Brain. Mm-hmm. Bobby Heenan in training. That's it. Yes. And he's the manager, Bobby Heenan. That's the oxygen. Okay, this is the oxygen tank for Savage and Hogan. Yep. Oh, yeah, the plaque saying Bobby Heenan, world's greatest manager. Oh, okay. Yeah. Right. And Gorilla Monsoon wearing his finest suit for the occasion.
Yeah, the nice blue option.
Right.
I don't know if I like the blue or the red better.
Oh, he's a well-dressed man. Okay. Busy episode of Primetime this week with the main event. It's a match from WrestleFest, I think. It's Honky Tonk Man and Hacksaw Jim Duggan. We need WrestleFest 88 on the network, by the way.
Yeah, I would love to see that in its entirety. I have a copy of it, but it would be nice to see it in complete form on the network.
There's no excuse for it not being out there.
That's one of the only, like, major shows I can think of that they haven't put on there that's theirs.
Right. No excuse. Okay. All right, so we got this big opening match here. And, All right. Oh, yes, I'm guessing Steinbrenner gave him a Yankees hat or something.
I noticed when they had one of the side shots, Bobby's wearing jeans, and that just looked weird to me.
Right. Well, yeah,
very, very casual for the Brain.
Yep. So it's not a bad look. All right, let's go to Wheeling, West Virginia here, Brett.
All right, I've never been to Wheeling, so this will be fun.
All right. And this is one of the matches taped for Primetime Wrestling at the Superstars of Wrestling taping, or the Superstars of Blur taping, I guess you call it.
You know, as a video editor, I commend those poor guys that had to blur all that stuff.
That, yeah.
Because that cannot be easy with all of that movement.
Yeah, I guess they haven't gone back and unblurred it yet. All right.
But I think with that, they still have to, because I think that's something with the copyright for Superstars of Wrestling.
All right, so Hercules out here without Bobby Heenan. DJ Peterson, a future AWA, actually the final AWA Tag Team Champions.
That's DJ, right.
DJ Peterson and the Trooper.
Yes. Yep. Later known the Patriot, Del Wilkes. Another South Carolina guy.
Mm-hmm. Here we go. And boy, they're absolutely jammed to the rafters here, Brett, I can tell. Okay, maybe not.
I was going to say, this looks like it's late in the evening for the taping. This is a tired-looking audience.
Yeah. All right. Here we go. All right, locking up. Well, I mean, when we talked about this earlier, this is the time everybody is in the WWF at one point or another. I mean, you got DJ Peterson, you got Baron Von Raschke, you know. Let's see, I mean,
A lot of people that kind of came in and out, didn't last very long, but had a couple of matches here and there.
Yeah. Just for fun. Oh, let's see.
The kind of appearances that, you know, they make YouTube videos years later about going, hey, did you know?
Oh, Joe LeDuc is in WWF in 88.
I was right. Was he the butcher for a couple of appearances? What in the world did they call him? I don't think it was the butcher, but it was. Well, it may have been the butcher.
Well, there were a few butchers. Okay, and we're back. Hey. What? All right. And you have Sean Mooney and Alfred Hayes as your announcers. That's anytime you got a primetime exclusive match, you pretty much got those guys.
I always enjoyed listening to those two together. Just, yeah, it was almost like you and I sit here having a conversation.
Yep. Oh, whoa!
Oh.
What? I mean, that was either a brilliant spot or yeah. Actually, if it's a brilliant spot, why does DJ look so worried? Ray, you okay, buddy?
And I had to look it up just because it was going to drive me nuts. LeDuc was the headbanger.
Ah, the headbanger, Joe LeDuc. Oh, my goodness. If only they'd kept him around for a few years.
He could have been with a completely different manager. Set of headbangers.
And it's the headbangers and their manager, Joe LeDuc. Outstanding. All right.
I think Hercules is trying to regain his composure.
Yeah, and DJ's letting him back in the ring, giving him a little room. Okay. Yeah, the referee's telling him, yeah, they'll edit that out in post, yeah.
Well, they told me they were going to edit it out in post.
I don't know what happened. Oh, okay. Ooh, and back we go. And over.
Hercules did a really big job taping that one wrist. That tape's unwinding pretty quick.
Yeah. Oops.
Might just be from the baby oil from Peterson now.
All right.
The way it's unwinding, it almost looks like a tape fist match now.
Yeah, it could be.
There are a couple of stiff shots to the ear.
Well, they're... okay. Reversal!
Ooh.
Nicely done. All right, it might be time here to put him away. Let's see here.
Gonna rack him.
Mm-hmm. Oh, there we go. That is, it's the torture rack, and Hercules is your winner.
He drops to his knees just to be a jerk.
Yep. There we go.
No wonder Gorilla called him Herc and Jerk later on.
That's true. Right. Yeah. Gorilla's asking about the tape. And the bandage, yeah.
Hey, saw it too.
All right. Okay.
Oh, bringing up Jesse getting paid off.
Maybe. All right. Okay. Yep.
hush, no. Hush, wink, wink, say no more.
Right. Yep. Okay, and that, well, that'll do it for that bonus match. But that's something you don't see every day. And
I love going back and rewatching these old prime times.
I do too. I know not everybody does, but this is part of the way back playback tradition here, I guess. All right, so Brett, how can people keep tabs on you via social media and find out what you're up to when everything gets back to normal?
All right, I post regularly on Facebook. If you'll just look up Brett Wolverton, it's BrettWolverton. Twitter is Brett Wolverton, all one word. Instagram, where I post everything that I bake, because I've earned the nickname in wrestling as Bretty Crocker.
Ah.
And I learned a couple years ago, Pat, to start bringing the stuff I bake to shows. I make a killing on the tables.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, that's. I think I do better than concessions do on some shows.
Well, that's good, because concessions do pretty well.
Yeah, it took me 15 years to figure out how to make money in wrestling, and it had nothing to do with wrestling.
That's, yep. So now everybody listening can learn from your wisdom. But that's right. That is the way to go. All right, so the rest of you, if you'd like to know more about Hercules, DJ Peterson, Demolition X, Demolition Smash, the Hart Foundation, or Jimmy Hart, feel free to go visit pwtorch.com, f4wonline.com, or the Wrestling Observer, or you can head down to your local library, except it's probably closed. Anything else, Brett?
No, I thank you for having me. It was fun to stuff my size 14s into gym shoes this week and fell in. Hopefully I'll get a chance to see him next year at CAC.
Yeah.
Didn't get to this year, so hopefully next year things are back to normal and we get to meet up again.
That would be wonderful, and I want to thank you for filling in for Bob, who was supposed to be filling in for Jim, and I'm sure we'll get you, and I'm sure we'll see you at some point once Jim starts traveling again. If Jim were here, he'd say we'll be back next week, same way back time, same playback channel, and until then, yesterday is history, tomorrow's a mystery, next week is another episode. Good night, everybody.